Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley with you again here on the Rediscover Hour. Great to be with you again on the Rediscover Hour. Thanks for joining us this morning, and I am really excited about today's show. We talked a little bit last week about how this journey of Lent necessarily includes and involves getting to know the Lord better, of course, getting to love Him and our neighbors better, but also some of that we need to get to know ourselves and particularly our own relationship with the Lord, what our tendencies are, what our propensities are in terms of following after the Lord, and also ways that we are drawn away from the Lord. We need to be able to combat those as well as possible. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on today, specifically through an evaluation and examination of the temperaments. Have you heard of these, the four temperaments? Well, if you haven't, I think you're in for a real treat. And if you have, I know you're already salivating for what's to come, because this is a very interesting and very informative, I hope, show that we're going to be doing specifically on the temperaments. But before we get into that, I just wanted to take just a moment to talk about what happened yesterday. In case you're unaware, yesterday we had an event called Catholics at the Capitol, sponsored by the Minnesota Catholic Bishops and the Minnesota Catholic Conference. That drew over 1,000 Catholics, to the state capitol to talk about some very important legislation that's coming up in this legislative cycle. We started at the River Center with some great instruction and also encouragement. We had Holy Mass. We had some talks, one by Bishop James Conley from the Diocese of Lincoln and also from Gloria Purvis. And it was an excellent and wonderful faith-filled morning. And then after lunch, we transferred up to the Capitol where people actually met with their legislators and talked about these, particularly these bills that are in front of us. And so we have some audio, just some clips from people from their experience that we're going to just play for you in just a moment. And we're going to hear from what people's experience were there at the Capitol. So listen and be inspired to how people are representing the Catholic faith there in the public square.
I'm Jason Adkins, and I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and I'm from St. Paul. Everyone should be encouraged. We have over 1,000 Catholics from every corner of Minnesota here today to lobby for life and human dignity. It's so encouraging that so many folks have made this sacrifice. We know Pope Francis tells us that politics is one of the highest forms of charity. And today, over 1,000 Catholics have responded to that call and have come here to serve with their brothers and sisters and be a voice for life and dignity. So amid all the challenges in our world today, to see this kind of engagement, so many folks here who are willing to deepen their discipleship and be a voice, get out of their comfort zones, really, and do something proactive in our community is just encouraging to me. And it's really a work of the Holy Spirit, I think. I think so. You know, we have an old saw that if five people, constituents from a legislator's district, are communicating with him or her about an issue, that means 50 or 100 people probably care about it. And 50 or 100 people in a legislative district can make a huge difference. So it's really going to put people on notice about the three issues that we're talking about today: expanding educational opportunity, fostering family economic stability, and protecting life at the end of life by opposing assisted suicide. So I think this is going to be a really important day for bringing those issues to the front of legislators' minds.
My name is Ann Taylor, and I'm from the Golden Valley area. Well, I'm Catholic. That would be a start. I also ran for a House seat this past November in 2016. Did not win, but that because of that, I've kept a lot of activism and involvement, particularly that of education and the safety around abortion and abortion clinics. I think school choice is still very much important. We need to be able to allow that opportunity for all our kids. There's a huge disparity, especially with the achievement gap. I think we are stronger in numbers, and it's about persistence. It's about showing up.
I'm here with a group of seniors from St. Agnes School here in St. Paul, and we're just going to have them introduce themselves. So, ladies first.
I'm Melissa.
Peter.
Nathan.
Toby.
Mark.
Alex.
Tyler.
It was a class field trip for the seniors. We were just coming down here to the Capitol to see the different representatives and talk about the different issues.
So we listened to the Archbishop and the bishops from most of the dioceses in Minnesota. They're talking about some of the bills that are possibly being passed. So I kind of learned about the family economic stability law that they're looking to pass, and how the MFIP, they still are making the same, where they get the same amount of money that they got in 1986, and it hasn't changed, so it's the same amount, so they're still kind of behind, and they're trying to get a little bit more money for them. So I think that's kind of a really cool thing to worry about, I guess.
Any potential for some real change?
Yeah, there were a lot of people, a huge crowd of people that we saw in the room, so lots of people on the rise.
Excellent.
I agree. I think there's a lot of people here. It's kind of hard to overlook just how many people like showed up, it seems. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's really easy to think that there aren't that many, but like they were talking and the Archbishop was talking, and a lot of people are rallying to make a positive change because it's time.
Definitely think our representatives aren't going to be able to ignore all these Catholics have gathered here today.
Nice. I'd say, yeah, there's definitely going to be some change with this many people together. Like, they have to do something. So.
My name is Sister Mary Alphonsus. I'm a little sister of the poor, and I live here in St. Paul.
I'm Sister Dorothy, and I'm a little sister of the poor, and I live also here in St. Paul.
As a little sister of the poor, it seems normal that we would come when speaking of assisted suicide and respect for the aged and dying.
Well, I have to reiterate that, you know, we would just go anywhere where we could speak or be with people who are for life. And why there is assisted suicide is beyond me, because I've been, 27 years in the congregation, and I've only seen one person die in agony. Everybody else has died in peace. And that's because of the care that we give them and because we prepare them for their death and we stay with them. So they're not alone. It's a big thing.
I think it's marvelous. There's over 1,000 people who showed up from the whole of the state of Minnesota.
I agree with that. And also, I'm a big believer that in order to get your representatives, your senators and representatives, to listen to you, the best way to do it is in person. You can write all the letters in the world, but if you come in person, I think they take that under consideration.
Deacon Steve Headland from St. Francis Parish in Carlton, Minnesota. Well, I think the main message there today was to not be afraid, to speak up. We are often too afraid to step forward and speak of what's on our mind, so we keep that in. We as Catholics have to get over that, actually, nationwide and worldwide. So to actually speak our faith, not necessarily in a negative manner, but with love and truth, that we get out there and get that message out there, because being silent doesn't do any good. Anytime you get a group together like this, I think change can happen. Many times it doesn't happen overnight, I'm sure, and stuff. And so we have to persevere, as they said in the meeting today, and not just get discouraged, even if what we feel our outcome today doesn't happen, or if it does, hopefully we can have an impact. But very often we have to just plant small seeds along the way and let God grow them.
So I'm here with a group of young ladies from Monticello, Minnesota, and they all attend Holy Spirit Academy. Am I getting that right? Okay. So the first very easy question for each of you is just tell me your name.
Maddie.
Anna.
Olivia.
Annalise.
Annie.
Maria.
Donna.
Well, I'm excited because we get to meet the legislators, and then we also get to kind of like tell them our like beliefs and so that we can have a voice and say how we feel about like the government and everything.
Always possibilities for real change when we come together and work together with this great democracy. So that's who we are.
Amen.
Definitely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I would say that definitely the amount of Catholics that we have will make it possible, because with all of us, it's going to make a stronger voice than if it was just one person.
Yes, most definitely.
I'm Bishop Mike Heppner from the Diocese of Crookston. It's a wonderful day. It's a fantastic day. They're telling me that it may be the biggest, our Catholics, the Capitol group, may be the biggest single group that has come to the Capitol here.
My name is Gloria Purvis. I'm from Washington, D.C., and I'm the host of Morning Glory radio show.
oh my gosh, this is electrifying to see so many Catholics, about 1,000 Catholics come together with one voice to go and talk to the legislators to try to bring beauty, truth, and goodness into the public policy realm is just amazing. Totally energizing and uplifting, and I feel the spirit moving here among the people. I believe that Minnesota, because of the witness of these Catholics, is going to be snatched back from the brink of darkness. I absolutely believe that this church is going to reinvigorate your whole state, and a blessing is going to come down on Minnesota.
Frank King, I'm from Princeton.
Okay. What's your name?
JT.
JT, are you enjoying yourself?
Yes, yes.
Are you learning anything fun or exciting?
Yeah, I did learn a lot.
Yeah, it's very reassuring when you see just the diversified group that's come from young to old, and you know, just the issues of today, things that as a Catholic that are important to our faith, and that, you know, we can make a difference in legislation to kind of show what we support and what we don't.
How about you, JT? Do you think things will change with that many people saying what they want the legislator to do?
Well, for me, it's hard to tell. Okay. It's the future. We don't really know.
Very good. But you could be part of that future, right?
Sure, yeah.
All right. Amen. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I just think that's great. Listening to snippets from Catholics at the Capitol yesterday, an event at the state capitol in St. Paul, and from JT King there at the end there, quoting Yogi Berra, I think it's hard to make predictions, especially about the future. No, I love it. It was just such an inspiring day to see. And lots of young people as well at Catholics at the Capitol, over 1,000 Catholics presenting the Catholic viewpoint on some very important issues that are in front of the legislature. So please, if you weren't able to make it, or even if you were, please continue in your prayers for this legislative session, that God may show forth his light and his truth to our elected leaders and through them to our society for the greater good. I want to say a special thank you to our technical producer, Paul Sadek, who put in some extra hours to put that together on some very short notice. If you missed that but are still looking to get together and you're actually male, I just want to put in a plug for the upcoming men's conference as well. That's the next opportunity to come together with a group of fellow Catholics. Men's conference is coming up next Saturday, March 18th, and registrations are open. Just go to the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org, or the Rediscover website, rediscover-faith.org, and register now. It's always a wonderful, wonderful conference, and I encourage you and challenge you to get out there. We need to shift our focus now back to the temperaments, and before we do that, though, let's pause and, as always, commit this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to turn back our attention back to the temperance. We have on the line Lorraine Bennett, who's going to speak to us about the temperament that God gave you. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Callie Yonta with a great and blessed opportunity for that college graduate who would like to change the world but isn't quite sure how. Teach for Christ gives young Catholics an opportunity to serve Christ totally for 1 year, helping Catholic schools do more with less and making a real difference for families. They train young college graduates over the summer and place them in Catholic schools where they work apostolically as teachers, tutors, coaches, mentors, and even business leaders. Teach for Christ provides a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for young people to serve Christ before they go on to married and professional life. Teach for Christ will accept only 4 young educators for the 2017-18 school year, and the deadline for applications is coming up. It's April 10th. So if you know a young Catholic with untapped potential looking for his or her next step, go to teachforchrist.org. That's teachforchrist.org. Or call Kendra Posh at 612-465-9230. That's teachforchrist.org or 612-465-9230.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We're talking today about the temperaments, and it's a great privilege and honor to welcome to the show Lorraine Bennett, who's the co-author with her husband, Art, of The Temperament God Gave You. Lorraine, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be on your show.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you. And this may be the first introduction some of our listeners have to even knowing what the temperaments are. So, but before we get into that, I do want to get into that, obviously, but I want to know when you first encountered the whole idea of the temperaments and how you got interested in them.
Well, actually, it was both my husband, Art, and I. We came at it from two different angles. He, because he is a licensed marriage family therapist, so he had studied temperament in his, you know, in his studies, you know, getting his license and so forth.
Sure.
But it was sort of in the background. And then I was going to spiritual direction with a priest, and he said, you know, you should read this. He gave me a book by a very famous, actually, Dominican, Jordan Amon, it was this big old book on spiritual theology, and there was a chapter on temperaments in there. And that was my first encounter with it, and I had no idea that actually it had been used for many, many, many years in spiritual direction, usually with priests. And so there was like this big history. So we kind of came together. So he knew the psychology end, and I knew, like, I was studying on all this, you know, the spiritual theology end of it. And then we came together and we're like, wait, we really need to bring this to the attention of just the average, you know, just parents, lay people, you know, teachers, and people just need to have an updated version of this that's not so, you know, highbrow or just not psychologically necessary. I mean, just kind of light psychology.
Right, sure, okay.
But, you know, to help parenting, and that's where we found it most helpful, and in our marriage as
Wow. Okay. So they can contribute to all sorts of relationships that we have. So just at the outset here, how do you define temperament? I mean, is it a personality trait? Is it a character thing? What is a temperament?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, see, this is the thing that's so cool about temperament and our Catholic faith, because it fits in so nicely. It's not like the entirety of your personality.
Okay.
So it's like we're not trying to put you in a box and saying, oh, this is you, you know. It's where other personality kinds of tests will do that. You know, they'll say, this is your personality, and you're stuck with it. We're kind of saying, this is what, you know, here, your temperament is that part of you that you kind of start out with by nature. Like every baby is born with a temperament. You know, they used to think way back, the behaviorists or whatever, you know, they thought, oh, you know, it's a blank sheet of wax. It's like your environment is everything, you know, but it's all imprinted on you from your environment. And, you know, but every parent knows, of course, that babies are born with something. You know, they start out with their little budding personality. So
right.
That part that we say that God gives you, that gift to kind of get started in life, and you have a tendency to react in certain ways. And it's part of your, you know, your physical being in a way, like your emotions. Like some people are just really, you know, some people are have that quick trigger, you know, the quick fuse, you know, their reactions are really fast and they're really sustained. And some people have quick reactions, but not sustained. Some people are very slow to respond. And these are all part of your temperament. So that's, and then we kind of, in our book, we call them by the classical names, which had been around since, you know, since the Greeks, you
right,
know?
Right.
And so we call them by these names, but that's not, you know, we're not saying that you're in a box.
Right,
of
right.
One of these, you know, so, but we just use that as a handle and also, you know, kind of fun. And it sort of gives you an easy way to talk about it.
And there are four basic temperaments, is that correct?
Yeah.
And
people are usually a combination, but
right.
Yeah, we talk about the choleric or choleric, melancholic, phlegmatic, and sanguine.
Okay, all right. And can you give us just a very brief overview of each of those and what those might be?
Yeah, I can do it really quickly.
Sure, okay, great.
And everybody will, I think people will recognize this, you know, it's like, so remember I was talking about reactions. So so the choleric or choleric is that, you know, the quick reaction and the long sustained reaction. So they're also the people who tend to be, you know, very goal-oriented, very quick to come up with an opinion, very opinionated, very, you know, sometimes they kind of are bulldozing over people in order to get their goal. You know,
I'm sorry, I'm just chuckling because I'm thinking of, yeah, I'm thinking of clerics in my life right now. So sorry. Yeah. Okay.
And also there's a president we can think of.
You know, really? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like, think about how, you know, he cannot not respond mm-hmm. to it. You know, he's like, must respond. And that's me as well. And so, like, in our marriage, before we knew about temperaments, I would be like, you know, why aren't you responding? I just said something. You know, I'd be demanding my husband to, and I'm, what's wrong with you? Are you mad at me? You know, are you antisocial? You know, all those are judgments. But once you discover the temperaments, you realize, oh, wait, he just responds differently than I do. It's kind of just a natural tendency. Anyway, so the choleric is that quick response. The phlegmatic is just the opposite, completely opposite. The very easygoing person, you know, you just love to be around them because they're just like, they're so fun to be with. They're just like very mellow, very chill. You know, they don't react strongly. They're never trying to argue with people. They're the peacemakers.
Okay.
And they're very calm at all times. Make great firefighters, you know, great military people.
Oh, yeah.
People.
Okay.
And then you have the sanguine. Sanguine is your classic people person. You know, the life of the party, bubbly, enthusiastic, talkative, very extroverted, the most. And then they're kind of like, their reactions are quick but short-lived. So they're like the butterflies, you know, they're, you know, or Dory the fish. You know?
Yes, so right, yeah.
Like, you know, oh, look, there's a, you know, something else I need to follow. So they have trouble with follow-through. So they start lots of projects. They're very enthusiastic. They take up all these different activities or whatever, and then they drop them. You know? So,
this is sounding eerily familiar here, yeah. Okay.
Starting to sound familiar.
Okay.
And then the last one is the melancholic, which is the exact opposite, polar opposite to the sanguine. You couldn't get two more farther apart. The melancholic is that very serious, very deep, very intense, very thoughtful, very sensitive person who pays attention to the details, unlike the sanguine, who, you know, really dwells on the details, very wants to get everything right. And so they're very slow to respond because they're wanting to get everything perfect.
Mm.
There was a saying about melancholics. It was like, they so long for heaven that everything on earth falls short.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
You know, they're always longing for the ideal. So that's like in a nutshell. And most people are kind of a combination of we think a primary and a secondary temperament.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's a quiz online. It's called www.temperamentquiz.com that I helped create this quiz. And it's like short or short-ish. It can't be too short or it won't get.
Right, of course, yeah.
But you could identify your temperament that way.
Wow, okay.
Or you could read our books.
Yeah, I suppose that might be a good idea too, right? And it's yeah. Books, right? It's plural. So in addition to the temperament God gave you, you also did one on the temperament God gave your spouse. Is that right?
That's right. The temperament God gave your spouse. We also have one, the temperament God gave your kids.
Oh, nice. That's very good. So, and, you know, that is kind of, I think that is kind of interesting, too, the way you say that, yeah, the babies are not born as this blank slate, but if indeed mm-hmm. this is a temperament that God indeed gives us,
exactly.
that it's been given by God and it's there mm-hmm. to be. I assume, though, over the course of one's life that this temperament might grow and develop, or is that, or are things, does yep. nature play, or excuse me, does nurture play a part on that?
Exactly. And that's what we think that as Catholics, we start out with this temperament, but, and once we know what it is, we're a little bit more, we could be more careful about how we respond, so we can choose to respond in different ways. And as Catholics, we believe, you know, we're fundamentally free. We're not going to be determined by our environment or by our temperament, you know, by our biology. So we're not determined to, it's not in the sense that we don't have to, it's not like we have to react in a certain way. We can choose to react in a way that's virtuous.
Right.
So, you know, it's like my, what was that? But, you know, I don't know. It's like some people, you know, will will say, you know, well, I'm sorry, I just that's the way I am, you know. Mm-hmm. So you're just gonna have to deal with it, you know. I'm an angry person, you know, and there it is. But we don't think that. We think we should choose to react in the virtuous, most prudent way, or whatever. And so as our environment, you know, as we grow and change, we learn, we think we grow in virtue, and that kind of shapes our total personality as, you know, as we live our lives and we're striving to be holy. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, many of the saints, when you read their stories, you can figure out what their temperament was by reading about what they were like when they were kids. Yeah. But then as they grow in holiness, they all become Christ-like. People, you know, they never knew that, you know, St. Ignatius was this, you know, very pugnacious, very, you know, very choleric person. At the end of his life, he was just sweet and humble and, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, the same thing with St. Therese of Lisieux. She was a difficult child as a child. And, but then she grew in holiness. So,
right.
Well, you know, that's what we think we should do.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think that, as I'm speaking here with Lorraine Bennett, co-author of The Temperament God Gave You, we're talking about the temperaments this morning. I want to underscore that I have heard a number of times, you know, somebody, if you say something, I don't want to say critical, but if it's, you know, some sort of loving, compassionate kind of, even it's just suggestion of something, you oftentimes do get that response of, well, that's just the way God made me, you know, and I'm not going to apologize for who I am or something like that. You know, that's something that comes across. But to me, that always seemed a little bit like a cop out and saying that, well,
exactly.
Yeah. So, but you're saying that the temperaments don't play into that at all. So you can't use that as an excuse of saying, well, I'm just a choleric, so that's the way it is.
Well, exactly. We think you should not. I mean,
right.
Some people
okay.
do try to do that, but we think the reason that we think it's good to explore this and to really know what your tendency is because then you can figure out really quickly, like, what are going to be the things that are, you know, going to set you off, or what are your likely weaknesses and the things that you might likely fall into, you know, in terms of sin. And it's going to be different. Like for example,
think
about Lent. We're talking about, you know, everybody's talking about Lent right now. So,
yep. Let's talk about Lent.
You know, it's like the melancholic, you know, my husband, as a melancholic, he would, there was a series of Lents where he would give up something that would make him the most miserable and also the rest of us the most miserable we could possibly be. And he's just like relishing this.
Right.
And finally I had to say, you know what? You're not allowed to do that because you're making all the rest of us miserable.
Right, right.
He would give coffee and he would be moping around the house, for dragging himself around the
I'm just laughing because that's I've actually spoken about it a couple of times on the show. Not as a melancholic, but as more of I'm somewhere between sanguine and phlegmatic, I think. But yeah, I gave up coffee and I'm done with that. I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah. Well,
but the melancholic you're saying would actually relish this.
Him.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then the sanguine, you have the sanguine person who, you know, gives up something the first week of Lent and says, oh my gosh, that was way different. I'm going to take a different one next week. You know? And,
that honestly, sounds familiar.
Yes. People, we have a child who did that, the sanguine child. Mm-hmm. switching, it, just like Tigger, you know, it's like, oh, I know what Tigger's like best. Did you ever, you know, Winnie the
right.
Pooh?
Right, yeah, yeah, of course.
Tigger would, yes, Tiggers love thistles. That's what Tiggers love. Oh, no. Tiggers do not love thistles.
Right. <You know>? So and well, as long as we're on the topic here, a choleric or is somebody who gives up something for Lent in a choleric, I mean, is there any way that they particularly might respond to their own disciplines?
Yeah, well, I would guess, I'm thinking that the choleric tends to, like, set the goal and stick to it and, you know, kind of bulldoze through.
Yeah,
and you know, kind of marshal through, and they might be doing it, but they also might have because they are choleric, they're going to have that potential for trying to do it on their own steam, like
right.
thinking, yes, I'm the one doing this. I am so great. And I'm so powerful. And they're kind of like, they're going to, you know, that's a, like, just a disaster waiting to happen, you know, because God wants us to rely on him. And,
right.
you know, we have to acknowledge our own weaknesses. And clerics do have a little difficulty with that. So there's always pluses and minuses for each temperament. And it's great to know this. And then you can kind of like be prepared.
Right, right. Very good. And you know? And then what about the phlegmatic in their Lenten disciplines?
Yeah. Let's see. The phlegmatic in Lent might have the weakness side might be that he would have a tendency to maybe choose the road of least resistance. It's like, okay, I'm going to give up. Let's see. You know, not eating chocolate, but they never eat chocolate.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to give up desserts, but I never eat desserts, so it doesn't really set that bad. Right. So they might have to, you know, kind of give themselves a little kick in the pants. You know?
Right. They might be the ones to say, for Lent this year, I'm giving up things for Lent.
Oh,
something,
yeah, right.
Like that, right?
There you go.
Right, right. Well, Lorraine, we're running a little short on time here, but I did want to just turn people back to that website. Can you give us that website again in case people are wanting to go online and figure out their temperament?
Right. Yeah. So it's www.temperamentquiz.com.
Okay. And this was something you said.
Temperament quiz there.
You said you developed this quiz. Is that correct?
Yes. I worked with the people who started. Actually, it was the Catholic Match group.
Oh, yeah.
Who, we had originally done that. And in fact, it was taken by, I just don't even know how many, like half a million people, like tons of people took it. But it was long and cumbersome. And this is a much shorter, quicker test, that just a quiz, not a long test.
Right. Right. Okay. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And, just once again, the names of the books are The Temperament God Gave You, The Temperament God Gave Your Spouse, and The Temperament God Gave Your Kids. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. You can get them on Amazon, or Sophia publishes two of them, and our Sunday Visitor publishes the kid book.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Lorraine Bennett, it's been a real joy. I'm sorry we're out of time already, but it's been great having you on the show. Thank you for joining us this morning, and God bless you in this Lent.
Well, thank you so much. It was just wonderful speaking with you today.
All right. God bless. Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We are going to come back, and we have two guests in studio. John Hartnett and Angie Newman are going to join us, and we're going to talk more about the temperaments, so don't go away. Rediscover.
How can you ensure financial support for your kids, grandkids, and important charities instead of the government? How can you ensure that your wealth and possessions are used in accordance with your wishes when the Lord calls you home? Planning Now helps answer these concerns specific to your circumstances and in a way that maximizes the financial legacy you wish to leave. Making a planned gift to Relevant Radio can help you achieve that goal. Learn more at relevantradio.com, keyword plan.
Powered by you, Relevant Radio.
Provide spiritual support for your family and all families from heaven by prearranging a planned gift to Relevant Radio.
Maximize the financial legacy you leave when you go home to our Lord. Consider a planned gift to Relevant Radio as part of your financial exit strategy.
Learn more at relevantradio.com, keyword plan. That's relevantradio.com, keyword plan.
Peace is flowing like a river, flowing out of you and me.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. It's great to be with you. And we are talking about the temperaments this morning, particularly in how they might influence our Lenten disciplines and what we might be able, how we might be able to better utilize our knowledge of the temperaments to help us in those Lenten disciplines. And also, we want to get into, too, how knowing and identifying the temperaments of others might help us to share the gospel more fully with them. Joining me now in studio to continue the discussion on the temperaments, we have John Hartnett, who is the Director of Faith Formation at Holy Family in St. Louis Park, as well as teaching in the school there, and the former principal, is that right, of St. Charles Borromeo in St. Anthony. So welcome, John. Good to have you on the show.
My pleasure. Good to be with you, Pat.
Excellent. And also joining us in studio is Angie Newman, who is a therapist who works for Water's Edge Counseling and Healing. Healing Center in Burnsville, Minnesota. And there at Water's Edge, they approach healing from a biological, psychological, social, and spiritual perspective. So they tie in the life of faith in the therapy and counseling that they offer there. Angie, it's great to have you on the show as well. Welcome.
Yeah, terrific to be here. Thanks, Pat.
Excellent. So, John, I think I'll start with you. And if you could just give us your first brush up with the temperaments, how did you first come to know about them, and what sparked an interest for you?
Well, Pat, it started a little bit like the Bennetts.
Yeah.
I read Jordan Naumann, same book,
mm-hmm.
and had that chapter and thought, whoa, there's a lot here. This really resonated. Seems something very accessible to lay people, particularly myself with no psychological background whatsoever. You can take that any way you like.
right.
And then I dug further and found some other writings, a small book by Conrad Hawk that I think was written in the 30s or 40s.
Okay.
And began to develop a repertoire of this and an understanding. And then for the first time at the parish I was at, St. Charles Borromeo, where I was also faith formation director,
mm-hmm.
I did a series on it, and series were common. And I found this one, 2 to 3 times the normal number of people attended.
Okay.
You talk about the measures that Lorraine talked about. The measures back then were a little clunkier and longer.
Mm-hmm.
If 100 and some people attended the sessions, I was given out 3 times as many of those. They were taking them back to colleagues, friends, and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many I printed off.
Right.
And so it was something that people just had a great traction with, and it resonated with them well. And the biggest challenge I had, being also a teacher in the school at the time and so forth, was I'd do a session in the morning, a session in the evening, and in the morning they'd grab me afterwards, and it was 10,000 questions, and I had an 11 o'clock class.
Right.
And those kind of challenges. So it was very obvious how much people were able to take it and run. Mm-hmm. And it began to unlock and open things up about themselves, first mm-hmm. of all, which is always, when I've taught it, an emphasis point. Although occasionally I turn and talk to the wall, because there's that natural tendency to start analyzing your spouse,
yeah.
your children, your
yeah.
coworkers, et cetera.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And are you still doing these sessions?
I do them on request when a parish okay. or something like that is interested. I come and I've done various formats and so forth. Haven't done one now for about a year, but did a one-day format down in Iowa just this past year. And that was kind of different, but it was kind of the practical way it would work. And I thought it worked very well. It's kind of a informative retreat, I guess would be the best line on it. It was kind of a pre-Lenten thing. And it's always a great deal of fun, because you watch people opening up and, again, being able to wrestle with the practical as well as the spiritual. Because
right.
I think we need to keep them both going as we're trying to develop our own spiritual life.
Right. Practical and spiritual. I like that. And Angie, how about you? And you first found out about the temperaments from one of the series that John did. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I was a student at the University of St. Thomas, and he was doing one at Nativity Parish. And I remember it was a 4-week series. I think it was 4 Monday nights in succession. And I remember being so charged, so like electrified by this message, and mm-hmm. I had trouble sleeping. I was kind of one of these temperament geeks, so it's played a big role in for me.
Yeah, good. And would you say that it's actually, was it part of that that has influenced you, your interest in knowing people, that drew you into the therapy realm as well?
I think so. I think that's fair to say. So I did a master's in marriage and family therapy, and I'm now working as a Catholic clinician. And I think it's just so helpful because I very much identify as a choleric. And so I tend to see the world really with very strong opinions and really quick reactions that are long lasting. And I'm always shocked to find that people are actually different than me. I just assume everyone sees the world the same way, thinks the same way I do. And then I'm perplexed when they show up differently than I would.
Right.
And so this was just really key. What John was just saying is understanding that about myself, but then also understanding other temperaments. And I remember, I'd have friends who were phlegmatic, so the opposite of my temperament.
Hmm.
And sometimes they would do things that I thought they were basically like declaring war by what they were doing. I was like, this is so hurtful. Why would you do mm-hmm. this? And then I'd check in with them and they were like, what are you talking about? I was being really thoughtful by doing that. Mm-hmm. I was showing you like what a great friend I was. And so once they had this deeper understanding of the temperaments and how we really can see the world and approach it differently, It really helped me with my relationships. And I think from there, it kind of just, you know, ignited this desire to get to know people and how they work, and how that can really be beneficial in relationships across the board.
Right, right. And John, how about you? Well, you also identify as a choleric, is that right?
Oh, very definitely, yes.
Well, this phlegmatic sanguine here is well, you know what? So here, just for our listening audience's sake, I just want to say that as a phlegmatic sanguine type person, I usually cholerics really come across as really stiff, rigid, dare I say even like joyless, but as soon as I get to know them, I love them. I just love hanging out with them, and I love their perspective. I actually relish the fact that we're very different. But John, just to go back to you too, and as Angie was just saying, so knowledge of the temperaments, like you said, primarily, or at least in the priority place about yourself, so you can understand where you're, both where you may thrive and also where you would really struggle, but also about others. I want to focus in a little bit about that. How is that helpful to be able to identify temperaments in others?
Pat, I think it's really a key point. I think, you know, if we think of the human person, we're all incomplete. It's part of the nature of being human.
Right.
I've never figured out exactly how God played the temperaments into this. There'll be a question on the other side.
Okay.
But I think it's so important to understand that that's how they're a gift. If you think of within an organization, having been in schools a great deal of my career and in parish work, you need a combination of people to really make the place work. If I could use an example, I had the blessing when I became a principal of having two people who worked as my direct assistants who were both melancholic. And being a choleric, okay, I'm not real detail-oriented.
Yeah.
The melancholics are.
Yeah.
And they kind of could just take care of things that, you know, you'd, as a choleric, we shoot through, make a decision mm-hmm. fast, we're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would ponder it a little more, slow you down, get the details that maybe you'd overlooked and, you know, the details that would cause a problem later, and make it work.
Yeah.
And so, ironically, in my life, I've married a melancholic,
yeah,
not by intention, didn't know what one was at the time,
right,
learned that lesson deeply,
yes,
so forth.
Right.
And, so I found myself over the course of my life, you know, seemingly that's a temperament that attracts me, even though it's quite different.
Mm-hmm.
But again, complements and in some ways completes.
Right.
And so knowing another person's temperament, as Angie mentioned, that ability to step outside of how you see things and try to recognize how are they seeing this. Lorraine mentioned it's really reaction to stimuli is the classic way of understanding this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so let's imagine you're coming to the studio this morning and somebody cuts you off in traffic. Well, the four temperaments are going to react differently to that event.
Fantastic. Okay, so give us, how would they react?
Okay, I'm a choleric, so, and Angie is. So we're more likely to, you know, go into a bit of a road rage ourselves. We might follow up on them, chase them down the highway, you know, all that, be, you know, ready to go after them.
Mm-hmm.
The melancholic might imagine, oh, that poor person, such in a rush for work, they'll be very sympathetic,
mm,
and so forth.
Yeah, that's certainly not me.
yeah, none of us are pure temperaments,
well,
as Lorraine mentioned.
Right,
we all have
right,
a little bit of several. The sanguine would at first be quite offended, but probably within two blocks, it's
completely
passed.
Forget about
yeah,
it. Yeah,
it's all gone.
Okay.
And the phlegmatic would not react very strongly at all, and it would probably drift away fairly fast. The phlegmatics have that beauty. They're almost hard to offend.
Mm.
And so, again, just how we react to things.
Right,
mm-hmm,
right.
And so in an environment, in a work setting, you know, things happen. And
right, yeah.
Sometimes upsetting things. Sometimes it's even imagined. You know, mm-hmm, let's imagine you were a melancholic and one of your colleagues today just doesn't quite respond to you as cheerfully or as pleasantly or even acknowledging you as mm-hmm well as they might.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a melancholic, you might think, ooh, I wonder what I've done wrong. Have mm-hmm I offended them? And start to read things in when maybe it's just they only got an hour sleep last night and there's just
right
not much energy. So
right,
again, the degree of depth to which you perceive things even, I think, varies from temperament to temperament.
Right. And Angie, does this resonate well with how you utilize and envision temperance being helpful in, say, therapy and counseling and that sort of thing as well?
I think so. I think it is just really key to understand where people are coming from. And one thing that I've really appreciated is as I've gotten to deeper and deeper layers, because this is just such a rich topic, I've heard that, you know, and sometimes in seminaries, they'll use this to help the men understand themselves better and also in ministry. And of course, psychotherapy began in the confessional. That's actually the root of it. And so I've heard that when we're comfortable, when we're feeling good, safe in our own skin, we show up in our primary temperament. And when we feel uncomfortable and maybe a little insecure, we revert to our secondary temperament.
Oh, interesting.
And so personally, you know, I'm a choleric melancholic. And so when I feel really comfortable, I come off very kind of forceful and confident and, you know, like living life large. And when I feel insecure or uncomfortable, I'm in a new situation, I revert to my melancholic tendency. So I'm much more shy, introverted, analytical. So I think it's really helpful to give people that lens to understand themselves, because we can identify as really strongly one way. So how come I show up this way sometimes and this way other times? Mm-hmm. So it's that self-knowledge that Teresa of Avila talks about is really the foundation of sanctity.
Yeah, wonderful. So when I see a beloved friend, a beloved family member who's, you know, if I'm able to identify that they're actually reverting into their secondary temperament, then I need to pay attention to that, right? And I need to respond in a way that's appropriate, because they're in a situation that they're feeling insecure or uncomfortable. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's very insightful, Pat.
Thank you very much. Yes, well, even what is it? The blind squirrel can find the nut every once in a while, right? Yeah. Okay, so, we should talk a little bit about, some of you may recognize the name of Angie Newman. She and I teach the Called and Gifted workshops together. And so we have some long road trips to outstate Minnesota, and we oftentimes end up talking about the temperaments as we're out there. And we started coming up with t-shirts. So John, I'm going to call you in on this one too. Just if you could do a t-shirt or a bumper sticker with a phrase that basically described each of the four temperaments, what would it be? And I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but Angie and I have come up with at least two already. So and if you want to chip in on that, you're certainly welcome too. So let's see, Angie, for the for the choleric, I'll shoot that over to you. What did we come up with? Do you remember?
Well, there was sometimes we'll fly out of state or even in state. So I remember one time we we could tell that story.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, you were there. So Pat shows up at the airport and he says, "Hi, I'd like to check in for my flight, and I'd like to sit next to my friend." And the woman behind the counter said, "Angie," and he said, "Yes, how did you know her name?"
Right.
And so anyways, it turned out that we were the only two on the flight. And so we were chatting and the whole way, and it was great. But something happened at that workshop that I took as a little bit offensive. So being choleric, I'm going to get offended much quicker than Pat, who's a phlegmatic, who it may not even register for him what just happened.
Right.
and so anyways, we were fast forward a month or so, and we were road tripping to a different workshop. And I remember the topic came up, and, you know, we were talking about it, and I just said, "I'm angry for you. You're welcome."
Right. So that's our phrase for the choleric. Yeah. I'm angry for you. You're welcome. So you had the response. And I think my thing is, well, I was thinking in my sanguine terms at that point, and I think my response was, "Hey, I'm just happy to be here." That's kind of my thing of just with a t-shirt and bumper sticker. So, John, does that make sense, or do you have any ideas about the other two, the phlegmatic or the melancholic?
The phlegmatic, let me pivot from the shirt.
Please.
For the choleric, which, you know, I tend to be, you know, just do it, Nike, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of the bulldozer.
Right.
Yep, nice. get a task, go straight, go hit it.
Yep.
A priest friend of mine and I did the series once together, and I think Angie, when we did yours, he did one of the sessions that was his temperament, because my schedule didn't allow me to do all four. And we got talking about this, and we actually went into kind of characters and furniture and things like that.
Mm.
So let me pivot to furniture.
Sure, okay, that's good.
Captain Kirk's command chair would be the choleric, and he was the classic choleric temperament, if you will, there. The shaker chair, the very, you know, vertical, upright kind of thing, would be the melancholic, very serious, very ponderous, and so forth. Sanguines, probably a love seat.
Okay.
That would be, yep. Hey, okay. You know, social life of the party.
Yeah.
And let's see, what other temperament have I forgotten here?
I don't think we did. Did we do the phlegmatic?
Phlegmatic would be a lazy boy.
Yep. Sanguine, phlegmatic, phlegmatic, sanguine. That is, yeah. I'm identifying more and more in the right, I'm in the right furniture.
Okay.
That's very good. Mm-hmm. Just in the closing couple minutes we have here, just wanted to pitch at you any advice that you would give, either one of you, to those in terms of getting to know their temperaments, and specifically about how that could be a good, getting to know someone else's temperament, how that could be influential in how you would evangelize, how you would share the gospel and kind of draw them into a closer relationship with Christ. I mean, are there things that we need to be aware of? So, Angie, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the saints are a great source, right? And so finding a saint that you can identify with, a saint with the same temperament as you, could really ignite some of that. I don't know. John, do you have any thoughts?
I think the saints, every time I've done a series, I always include a handful of saints that identify that. I think that's very strong. I think also, particularly for those who are married, that ability to bridge particularly into your spouse's temperament.
Yeah.
Again, if I've heard once, I've heard 1,000 times what Angie said earlier. I didn't know people didn't see the world the way I do.
Right.
And when we realize that, it also, again, I think recognizes our incompleteness, allows us to address the difficulties, but also understand the strengths. Mm. I've always been jealous of the melancholics, who I know, because it's easier for them to pray. Mm. Just do it is not a great approach to prayer.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, I think too, in the therapy office, you know, I see kids, I see couples, I see individuals and families, and especially with parents, you know, Lorraine mentioned she has the temperament God gave your child, and it can be really helpful, because oftentimes with parenting, we can approach our kids in the way that would make sense for us to have been parented, or the way we wish we would have been parented. Mm. But really, it's sort of akin to the love languages. It's really looking at how does your kid or your spouse or whoever it is you're in relationship with, how do they receive love, or how do they receive really, you know, that correction?
Right.
I mean, that's going to look a lot very different depending on the temperament. And so, again, just understanding your own, where you're coming from, and then also those who are near you, is really just incredibly beneficial.
Very good. Angie Newman and John Hartnett, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
Yeah. Again, the website, if you'd like to discover your own temperament, is www.temperamentquiz.com. The books are The Temperament God Gave You, The Temperament God Gave Your Spouse, and The Temperament God Gave Your Kids. Stick with us. We're going to come back with some community events right after this, and we'll think about how other ways we can increase our Lenten disciplines. Rediscover.
In the constantly changing world of technology, LCI in the Twin Cities offers an experienced staff and knowledge to service and maintain the current technology at your company. LCI also provides this message in support of Catholic ministries in our area.
The new year brings an opportunity for you to begin a grandparents ministry in your parish. You have a great influence for evangelizing the family. Grandparents can find out more by becoming equipped to pass on the faith by visiting the Archdiocesan website or call the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life at 651-291-4400 and ask about the Grandparents Ministry.
LCI supports local Catholic ministries, including Relevant Radio. Large and small business owners find a cost-effective IT solution by calling LCI 763-425-7567 or lci-online.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, and again, we have Paul Sadek in the studio. Of course, he's always here.
Just keep coming back like a bad penny.
That's very good. Paul?
Lots of things going on.
Excellent. What are we doing?
Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the message proclaiming to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
Archbishop Hevda invites you to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference on Saturday, March 18th. That's coming up quick in the Anderson Fieldhouse at the University of St. Thomas, being held from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. with adoration beginning at 7. Join men of all ages and walks of life from around the Archdiocese for a morning filled with faith and fellowship. Archbishop Hebda will speak on lessons from St. Joseph, the ultimate watchman. Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins will lead a Eucharistic procession around the USD campus from 12 to 1. For more information and to register online, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org or call Enzo Randazzo at 651-291-4483.
The Church of St. Michael in St. Michael is offering a retreat for girls grades 9 to 12 Saturday, March 25th, 9:30 a.m. It ends by noon. The retreat will be on chastity and being pro-life. Presentations by Michelle Steele and Angela Belgeski. There's no cost to attend. Parents and mentors are encouraged to join. For more information, visit stmcatholicchurch.org. That's stmcatholicchurch.org. To RSVP, email taketimeforhim@tds.net.
Lectio Divina is Latin for divine reading, meaning to pray with Scripture. The Office of Evangelization and Catechesis invites you to a Lectio Divina workshop with Father Peter Williams at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. The workshop runs from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Sunday, April 9th, and a light dinner will be served and a free will offering accepted. Register online by visiting the events page on rediscover-faith.org.
And the Servants of the Cross Group is a Catholic nonprofit organization with families from multiple parishes participating in the 19th annual Living Stations of the Cross, three locations, Good Friday, April 14th. They'll reenact the Passion of Jesus Christ at 12 noon at St. Jude of the Lake, Matamidi, 3 p.m., Church of St. Rita in Cottage Grove. Okay, let's get that right. Noon at St. Jude of the Lake in Matamidi, 3 p.m. at Church of St. Rita, Cottage Grove, 7 p.m. at the Church of the Blessed Sacrament in St. Paul. Visit servantsofthecrossmn.com. What's up next week?
Next week, it's St. Patrick's Day, so we're going to have a show dedicated to St. Patrick. We'll hear from Dan Murphy, president of the Ancient Order of Hibernians, as well as Daniel Kabinski, who reads the epistle in Gaelic. And at the end of the hour, we'll hear from special guest Archbishop Flynn. High solemnity, folks, or at least in my household, St. Patrick's Day. Until then, go to church and be the church. The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org. and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.